our phone lines. They are open to you right now. Love to get your question this morning for our retirement planning professionals from Kloss Financial. We're going to be talking this week about Medicare and some other things as well. But keep in mind, if you have a question, it could be anything retirement related. That's a great thing about having the folks from Kloss Financial on each and every week. It's a prime opportunity to ask any question you may have, and they are here to provide those answers. Again, all you got to do is pick up the phone, give us a call, 608-321-1310. That's 608-321-1310. Speaking of learning more about the folks at Kloss Financial, their website, it's a fantastic resource, klossfinancial.com. That's Kloss, K-L-A-A-S, financial.com. Not only can you learn about Kloss Financial, their separate divisions, you can get to know the team there. You can also sign up for the weekly Market Pulse newsletter that's available to you at klossfinancial.com. Speaking of other things available to you as well, their telephone number, 608-442-5637. Don't forget that first appointment at Kloss Financial. It is complimentary. It will be free to you. Again, the telephone number for the office, 608-442-5637. And joining us this morning are our retirement planning professionals, CJ Kloss and Eric Schwartz. CJ, how you doing today?
I'm doing great. Good morning, Sean.
Great to talk with you. Eric, how have you been?
Not too bad. It's a little snowy out there today, but not too bad.
Yeah, it's a weird one. I'm so ready for. I think we all, of course, today is the first day of spring. I think we're all ready for some warmer weather, and we've got an important conversation ahead, and of course, questions about Medicare and exactly what it is. And I know folks are paying a lot of attention in certain areas, and other folks have kind of ignored some of it. And it's an important conversation to have. So we'll get to that in just a moment. But before we get to this week's topic and conversation, as well as your call, let's actually take a look back at last week's program. Of course, the Kloss Quiz Question of the Week, we do one each and every week. This week will be no exception. We'll have your chance to win a $25 gift card to Texas Roadhouse provided by our friends at Kloss Financial. Little tip, listen closely to the program. Just about every show, the question and answer comes up during the program. And speaking of taking a look back at last week's Kloss Quiz Question of the Week, Eric, let's get the question and answer there as well.
Absolutely. So thank you to all of our listeners last week for tuning in, and congratulations to our winner, who was Holly from Madison. Mm-hmm. And the question last week was, in 2025, what is the total amount that you can contribute into your employer's retirement plan if you're under age 50? So the choices were $20,000 or $23,500. And Holly knew that the correct answer was $23,500.
Congratulations, Holly. You two can be like Holly. Just pay close attention to the program. Again, not only to get some great information, but you're going to leg up on everybody when it comes to the Kloss Quiz Question of the Week, because, again, both the question and answer come up during the program. If you got a question, speaking of, love to get you on the show this morning, get you on the air, 608-321-1310. That's 608-321-1310 to get you on the air with Eric and CJ from Kloss Financial. And today we're going to be talking about Medicare, and I've got to admit, you know, I hear a lot about Medicare over the years, but the political folks often are talking about it, and of course, not quite yet 65, and haven't paid a ton of attention. What do folks need to know then, CJ, when it comes to Medicare?
Yeah, you're right, Sean. You know, most of our information about this, if we're not yet 65, is often driven by what we hear through political discourse. And so, unfortunately, most of what you hear regarding Medicare from major news outlets, or even just we'll call it from political candidates, is what's wrong with the program and how it's a large unfunded liability of the U.S. federal government. And certainly, while these conversations are interesting, and we all probably have our own opinions about the U.S. federal government getting involved in providing citizens with healthcare solutions, we are going to avoid that part of the more political discussion for today. So while we understand that a lot of people have strong opinions about that, that's not the point of our discussion today. Instead, we're going to focus the remainder of our show on explaining to you how Medicare works and why it's so important for U.S. citizens to understand the program as they approach 65. So I don't mean to be disrespectful, but do your best to set your opinion aside, because as it stands today, Medicare is the law of the land. And so you're going to have to deal with it, whether you like it, whether you love it, or whether you hate it. Now, quick disclaimer as we start talking about Medicare today, while many of our advisors at Kloss Financial are insurance licensed, we do not currently sell insurance products to our clients. And therefore, the good news is, because many of us are licensed, like I am, I can speak to this from a position of authority and understanding while avoiding the conflict of interest of thinking about selling any of this stuff. Okay, let's get started with some of the basics, you know, beginning with what is the definition of Medicare? According to Medicare.gov, Medicare is a federal health insurance program in the United States for people 65 or older. Simple as that. You may be eligible to get Medicare if you have a disability, end-stage renal disease, or ALS, even if you're not yet 65. Some people get Medicare automatically, while others have to actively sign up. And it depends on if you start getting retirement or disability benefits from Social Security before you turn 65. Of course, many people want to know what Social Security has to do with Medicare, and I'll be frank with you, this can be an area of confusion since Medicare typically becomes available at 65, while Social Security can be drawn as early as 62 and as late as 70, or somewhere in between, known as your full retirement age, between 66 and 67. So we often run into people saying, wait, what are you talking about? What does me signing up for Medicare have to do with Social Security? How are the two intertwined? And the reality is they're both kind of like government-managed programs that have interactions between one another. So that's what we're referencing here. They are different ages, but they have interactions. So let's talk about those interactions. According to Medicare.gov, if you apply to start receiving retirement benefits from Social Security at least 4 months before you turn 65, you automatically get Part A and Part B of Medicare when you turn 65. So hear that again. If you've already signed up for to receive your Social Security retirement benefits 4 months before you turn 65, then the good news is it's automatic when you turn 65 that you're going to get Medicare Part A and Part B. Now, notably, you will still need to make important decisions about how you get your coverage, including adding drug coverage and supplements or what are known as Medigap programs that we'll talk about later. But the good news is that if you've started Social Security, then there's an automatic feature. Unless you opt out, which we're going to talk about that in a moment.
Get to that in just a moment. A lot of really good information from CJ and Eric. We'll continue our conversation. Mentioned the phone lines are open, and Randy called in. Randy, this is the first time I've seen some of these words typed out in order like this. Hopefully, this is a unique one. Randy, welcome to the program. You have a question for CJ and Eric?
Yeah, I don't know if you can answer it or not. It's regarding our real estate tax deferred exchange. And what my thought process is I'm selling an income property, buying another property that is currently vacant, but would be producing income once I buy it and get it fixed up and start renting it out. Would that be considered a tax-deferred exchange? Because the second property is more expensive, but it currently is not rented out. So is it a like-to-like exchange?
Oh, man. Such a great question, yes. Randy. I'll give my two cents on this.
I don't know if you can answer it.
Great question. First off, thanks for the question. And everybody who's listening right now, you know, be more like Randy. Call in and ask these questions because I love getting stumped. And Randy, you might have stumped me on this one. So just to make sure everybody's on the same page, Randy is talking about a 1031 exchange. This has to do with real estate where you have a rental property, you've depreciated out a bunch of your original purchase, it's called depreciated basis, and then you don't want to necessarily sell that and realize what's called a depreciation recapture plus any capital gain on top of that because there's a lot of taxes associated. So you do a 1031 exchange to a like property. That's what Randy is asking about. What I'd say, Randy, is I don't know. This is not the nuances of does it qualify for a like-to-like exchange? And I think this has to be done within like 90 days. There's a time limit on it. And there, so to answer your question, I don't know. You would want to talk to your CPA or accountant to see if it qualifies. But let me pause. Eric, do you have any opinion on this?
No, I was gonna say the same thing. Speaking to your accountant on this is probably going to get you the best information, especially when it comes to the definition of what is a like property.
That is, and I love these questions. And I saw Randy's question pop up, guys. I thought, I don't think we've ever had anything.
It's a
in this
good question. One.
It is.
It's a good one. I love that Randy thinks we're smart enough to on the fly, like, understand that nuance. But by the way, I'm not making fun of you, Randy. I love the question. It's just I'm not. I could probably look it up and get you a better definition, but I don't know the information off the top of my head.
Really good call. Really good question. You two can be like Randy. If you've got a question for CJ and Eric, we'd love to have you join us this morning. Telephone number 608-321-1310. That's 608-321-1310. We are talking this week about Medicare. If you've got a question about anything, though, you can definitely join the program. And it talk about some interesting stuff there as we were hearing CJ talk a little bit about some of the numbers and some of the ages, you know, kind of have that basic understanding as well of what Medicare is and what age people are typically eligible. Let's talk about some kind of a better understanding of some of those core components of Medicare. And I'll put that to Eric.
Absolutely. So let's kind of start at the beginning. It's something CJ just touched on, but I want to really drive home. So to become eligible for Medicare, there's basically four ways that we see when we're working with folks. So by far the most common is reaching age 65. So talking to retirees or soon to be retirees, age 65 is kind of like the promised land. They want to get to that affordable health insurance. The other way you can qualify is by being disabled and receiving Social Security disability insurance payments. And then the final two ways that CJ also mentioned earlier are if you have end-stage renal disease or if you have ALS. Hmm. So in addition to the list of kind of how you become eligible for Medicare, you must also generally be a U.S. citizen or a lawfully admitted permanent resident who's lived in the U.S. for at least 5 years. And then beyond that, if you and or your spouse have worked and paid Medicare taxes for a certain amount of time, usually 10 years, you'll likely qualify for premium-free Medicare Part A, which is your hospital insurance.
Talking this morning with CJ Kloss and Eric Schwartz. Fantastic information from our retirement planning professionals. If you've got a question, love to have you join us this morning. 608-321-1310. That's 608-321-1310. And Pat joins us. Pat, welcome to the program. You're on the air with CJ Kloss and Eric Schwartz of Kloss Financial.
Thank you. I have a question. I'm 66 years old and I'm self-employed and I'm receiving benefits for Social Security and Medicare, of course. So the additional income that I want to save, what's the best way to invest that money? I know people say in an IRA, but then I feel like you get taxed on that IRA if you keep withdrawing from it. And I already pay the taxes on the income quarterly.
Great question. I think I understand your question. Again, I like to just repose this to the audience so they make sure they understand the question. So what I heard you say is that you're 66, self-employed, you're receiving Social Security benefits and on Medicare, but you're wondering if you're earning income, what's the best way to save for the future? Because your question is, well, given that I'm self-employed, I'm paying, you know, quarterly taxes on this, and why would I want to take after-tax money and put it into a retirement account and then pull it out later and pay taxes? Am I summarizing that accurately?
Yes, that's exactly what I meant.
Okay. Well, here's the good news. What you're missing on that component is that if you do an IRA contribution, and by the way, I'm not saying this is what I would suggest. I would actually need to talk to you and determine if I even suggest this. But good news is one thing you're misunderstanding is that if you do an IRA contribution, you will get to deduct that at the end of the year and you'll get a refund of your quarterly estimates. Because basically what's happening is they're saying you shouldn't have paid as much tax because say you are, I'm going to use big numbers. I earn $100,000. I put, you know, $8,000 into an IRA. If I'm paying quarterly estimates based on the $100,000, that's actually wrong. I should have paid quarterly estimates based on the $92,000. So they'll refund me the taxes that were overpaid. Therefore, it's the equivalent of a pre-tax contribution into your retirement account. Now, to your original point, you're still going to have to pay taxes in the future when you pull that out, right? So it's not, you're not avoiding taxes, you're just pushing out the taxes into the future. And the reason you might do that is because when you're retired and no longer self-employed, your tax bracket might be lower. Now, am I suggesting this? No, I'm just telling you how it works and explaining to you the way that, you know, you'll actually get a deduction, yada, yada. But what my advice would be on what you should do is really more of a nuanced conversation. So I might suggest you talk to an advisor at some point and see if that's even a good idea.
Really good question this morning, Pat. And also, I know we've talked about some of this stuff in great depth on some of the previous shows. A great opportunity to check out the website, klossfinancial.com. Subscribe to the podcast. They've got a complete listing as well online. Speaking of getting some advice, telephone number for Kloss Financial, 608-442-5637. No charge for that initial get-to-know-you appointment at Kloss Financial. It will be complimentary to you. Again, their number, 608-442-5637. We're going to continue our conversation with CJ and Eric. We've also still got time. If you've got a question, love to have you join us this morning, 608-321-1310. That's 608-321-1310. We'll continue our conversation with Eric and CJ and take your call next as Money in Motion with Kloss Financial continues right here on 1310 WIBA. Talking this morning with our retirement planning professionals, CJ Kloss and Eric Schwartz. Of course, they come to us from Kloss Financial, the website, klossfinancial.com. That's Kloss, K-L-A-A-S, financial.com. Great website. Our telephone number, 608-442-5637. No charge for that initial get-to-know-you appointment at Kloss Financial. It will be complimentary to you. Again, their number, 608-442-5637. Talking this week about Medicare, and as we kind of were getting, we got some great ground. Work laid, got some great details as well. Are there any other things we need to know about how Medicare works, Eric?
Yeah, Sean, there's unfortunately quite a bit more. but when I think a lot of times people will hear people talk about letters associated with Medicare, and that causes a lot of confusion for clients. So let's kind of talk about what those letters mean and kind of how they build a health insurance plan for folks over 65. So Medicare Part A, that is the hospital insurance aspect of it. So it's covering inpatient care in hospitals, skilled nursing facility care, hospice care, and maybe some level of home health care. And as we mentioned earlier, this is typically at no cost if you and or your spouse have paid Medicare taxes for at least 10 years. So when I say it's no cost, I mean, you've paid in over the years, so that's what covers the cost. Medicare Part B, this is your medical insurance. Okay, so that covers your services from doctors, other healthcare providers, covers outpatient care, home health care, durable medical equipment, and other equipment and preventive services that you might need. Now, Medicare Part B involves a monthly premium and an annual deductible. So the standard monthly Part B premium for 2025 is $185. And for folks who are on Social Security, this is generally just deducted from your monthly benefit payments. So a lot of people don't even notice this premium is coming out. You are able to pay it from your checking account or some other method if you are not yet on Social Security retirement benefits. Now, that $185 monthly premium, depending on what your income is, that can actually be higher. So it's a little bit confusing, but essentially Medicare is going to look back 2 years at your income to determine if your monthly premium will be higher than $185, but that is the base in 2025. Now, the annual deductible that I mentioned earlier for Medicare Part B, it's $257, which means that you have to pay that amount before Medicare will begin paying its share of covered services. Now, I'm sure folks listening who are not on Medicare may say, you know, $257, that's a pretty nice deductible on health insurance. But that is, you know, that is part of why I mentioned earlier, folks are generally pretty excited to get to 65 for the health coverage. Lastly, related to Part B, you may have noticed that I mentioned after that $257 deductible, Medicare will begin paying its share of covered services. So Medicare typically pays 80% of the approved amount for covered services. So this means that folks who are receiving Medicare are responsible for the remaining 20% of those costs. So this 20%, that's known as coinsurance. And that's why people will often pick up Medicare supplements or a Medicare Advantage plan. And we're going to talk about those more here in a moment. But those are generally what are picking up those extra costs. Now, Medicare Part D, that is your drug coverage. So that's going to help cover the cost of prescription drugs, including, you know, many recommended shots or vaccines. One problem we often see with Medicare Part D is there's a lot of confusion caused by the various names people use when talking about it. So if you may hear Medicare prescription drug benefit, you may hear Medicare RX or just RX plans. You may hear prescription drug plans or Medicare Advantage prescription drug plans. Essentially, all these terms relate to Medicare programs that help cover the cost of prescription drugs. So while Part D is the standard term, you should not be surprised to hear some of these other terms as well. Now, if you join a Medicare Part D drug plan, you do that in addition to Medicare Parts A and B, or you can get it by joining a Medicare Advantage plan with drug coverage. So plans that offer Medicare drug coverage are run by private insurance companies that follow very strict rules set by Medicare. So they are all standardized plans, but they're operated by private insurance companies. And finally, as you approach Medicare eligibility age, which for most people is age 65, as we mentioned earlier, you want to be careful not to get hit by something known as the late enrollment penalty related to creditable coverage. Without going into too much detail here, you can essentially end up with a sizable Medicare Part D penalty if after your initial enrollment period, you go 63 or more consecutive days without either Medicare Part D coverage or what's called a creditable prescription drug coverage plan. So watch out for that as you are approaching Medicare.
That is, there's a lot to this. And one of the great things about this program, a lot of great information, a lot of important information. And sometimes, you know, driving around, maybe you don't get a chance to take notes, or maybe you want to hear something back or share this information. The podcast, it's available to you at klaasfinancial.com. That's Klaas, K-L-A-A-S, financial.com. Their telephone number is 608-442-5637. Hold on to that telephone number. Coming up in the next segment, we'll talk a little bit more about Medicare. We'll also do the Klaas quiz question of the week as Money in Motion with Klaas Financial continues next. Next, right here on 1310 WIBA. Talking with our retirement planning professionals, CJ Klaas and Eric Schwartz. Of course, they come to us from Klaas Financial, the website klaasfinancial.com. That's Klaas, K-L-A-A-S, financial.com. Their telephone number, 608-442-5637. Talking this week about Medicare, and we've covered a lot of ground. CJ, is there anything else that we should know?
Well, to steal a term from my colleague, unfortunately, yes. Beyond what's called original Medicare, which is Parts A and B, along with the Medicare Part D, which is not part of original Medicare, but is rather prescription drug coverage provided by private insurance companies. So beyond those kind of core elements, there are a few other components of Medicare to understand. And most of you out there, if you know about Medicare, you should be going, yeah, what about Medicare supplements and Medigap plans? Well, that's what we're going to talk about next. So Medicare supplement, also known as Medigap, is extra insurance you can buy from a private company that helps pay your share of costs in original Medicare. For those with a keen ear, you should have already known what is meant by your share, since that was referenced in Eric's section about kind of the coinsurance. So your share refers to the 20% coinsurance, which can really add up, especially if you require frequent or expensive medical services. This is the primary reason why most people consider supplemental coverage like Medicare supplements, also known as Medigap plans. So just when you hear Medicare supplement or Medigap, those are the same thing. Notably, policies are standardized and in most states named by letters A through N. The most common Medigap plan used to be Plan F, but it's no longer available to newly eligible Medicare beneficiaries on or after January 1st of 2020. Currently, as of 2025, the most common Medigap or Medicare Advantage or Medicare Supplement plan offered by private insurance companies are Plans G and Plan N. Plan G is the most popular Medigap plan since it offers comprehensive coverage, covering most of the gaps in original Medicare. People tend to choose this Medigap Part G plan for its extensive coverage and relatively predictable out-of-pocket costs. Plan N, which is the second most popular Medigap plan, offers a balance between coverage and cost. While it covers many of the same benefits as Plan G, it involves some co-payments for certain office and ER visits, which typically means the monthly premium for plan N is lower than for plan G. Which all of this leads us to the final kind of core component of Medicare for you to be aware of, which is known as Medicare Part C or Medicare Advantage. Now, I just want to pause. I hope everybody is either taking notes or you say to yourself, I need to go listen to that podcast again, because there's a lot of details here. You're noticing each of these core components has like multiple names.
Yeah.
And this is one of the biggest reasons why Medicare is so confusing. It's not because the plan or the program itself is overly complex. It's because each one of the components has like nine names that people will use for it. Well, I don't really have a fix for you as much as go back and listen to this again. So Medicare Part C, which is also known as Medicare Advantage, here's the concept to understand when it comes to Medicare Part C. Americans like choice, and therefore during open enrollment in the fall of every year or upon a qualifying event, you have two main ways to access Medicare coverage. So this is the whole point of Medicare Advantage. Like, what is this thing, Medicare Advantage? It's basically a secondary choice that takes you off of original Medicare. So option number one is known as original Medicare, which is everything we talked about previously, right? Parts A and B and a Medigap plan and a typical Medicare Part D prescription plan. Option two is Medicare Part C, which is also known as Medicare Advantage. This is a Medicare-approved plan from a private company that offers an alternative to original Medicare for your health and drug coverage. These are known as bundled plans since they include Part A, Part B, and usually Part D. In many cases, you can only use doctors who are in plans network. So this sounds more like private health insurance, doesn't it? It's like, oh, there's a network now. These plans often have different out-of-pocket costs than original Medicare, but these plans also often offer other benefits like dental and vision, and they may include separate premiums, but they're usually cheaper than Medicare supplements. So here's the point of all of this. We are not for or against any structure of this. We actually love the choice. We love that our older clients get to Medicare. We generally love the benefits that Medicare provides, and we love the choice that is available to you. Unfortunately, there is so much complexity to Medicare and so many different names that are used and ways that these things can go wrong that we have to get quite involved in being watchdogs on behalf of our clients. Okay. So Eric can attest, we unfortunately spend way too much time in our meetings asking about, what are you on? What do you have? What are you paying? Why do you have that? You need to talk to somebody. Again, while we are insurance licensed, we don't sell this stuff, so we often have to work with, you know, Medicare specialists to actually refer our clients out to them to find out what's best. If there's one big takeaway from the show today, Medicare is great but complicated, and therefore just can't suggest enough, find somebody who can advocate on your behalf.
Really great job explaining a very complicated subject this week, that is for sure. And if you do want to listen back, as mentioned, a great opportunity to head on over to klaasfinancial.com. That's Klaas, K-L-A-A-S, financial.com. You can listen to a single program, play back, or subscribe to the podcast, which I would recommend. Again, available to you at klaasfinancial.com. That's Klaas, K-L-A-A-S, financial.com. Telephone for the office right here in Madison, 608-442-5637. Don't forget that first appointment, no charge. It'll be complimentary to you. Again, the telephone number, 608-442-5637. Speaking of the telephone number, hold on to it because it's time now for the Klaas Quiz Question of the Week. It works like this. In just a moment, I'll ask you the Klaas Quiz Question of the Week. You will then have 30 minutes from the end of today's program to call the Klaas Financial Office right here in Madison at 608-442-5637. If you are the first correct answer, you win this week's prize, which is a $25 gift card to Texas Roadhouse. This week's Klaas Quiz Question of the Week is this. According to Medicare.gov, Medicare is a federal health insurance program in the United States for people what age or older? Multiple choice here. Is it 62, 65, or 67? Telephone number, 608-442-5637. First correct answer win this week's prize. Don't forget as well, that's Klaas Financial's office here in Madison. No charge for that initial get-to-know-you appointment at Klaas Financial. Their number, 608-442-5637. CJ, Eric, it's always great chatting with you. We'll do it all again in a week.
Thanks, Sean.
Thanks, Sean.
See you guys. Dr. Marty Greer comes your way next right here on 1310 WIBA.